It's another episode of the MicroConf podcast. This week is a tactics episode about five small changes to improve your SaaS product forever. Before we dive in to the meat of the episode, my new course, the SaaS Launchpad, is selling really well. There are folks in the forums, people taking the course and getting a lot of positive feedback about it. If you haven't checked it out, it is saaslaunchpad.co. It's for early stage SaaS founders coming up with ideas, vetting them, building a launch list, building an MVP, and launching. And if you buy the course before September 30th of 2024, you're going to be able to get on a live Q&A call with me. I don't generally do live Q&A calls, and I'm doing this special for folks who buy the course before September 30th. That's saaslaunchpad.co. And with that, let's dive into five small changes to improve your SaaS product forever. Making even small tweaks to your startup can have massive impacts on your growth over the long term. Your business can go from barely surviving to growing and thriving. In this video, I'm going to get tactical about five small levers that can have a huge impact on your SaaS product. And where did I get these five strategies, you ask? Well, ChatGPT and Google, of course. Obviously, that's not where I got them. I got them both from applying them and experimenting over years and years in my own businesses and seeing these play out in the almost 200 startups that I'm now invested in. So if you're running a SaaS product, whether you want to get it to 1,000, 10,000, or 100,000 a month, you're going to want to take some notes and take action. And you might notice that this video focuses on more later stage topics. This is not about finding an idea or validating an idea. This is if you have a business that is working reasonably well, here are five different strategies and tactics that you can implement that can help you grow it faster. So if you're super early and you have no product market fit, everyone's churning out, these tactics are probably not for you. These tactics are for businesses with at least a few happy customers and some semblance of having built something that people want. And later in this video, I'm going to talk about the one hire you might want to make that takes all of this and turbocharges it. But let's start with tactic number one. The first thing I tell almost all SaaS founders is you should probably increase or at least revisit your pricing. Figure out if your pricing models, think about the different tiers you charge, are based on the correct value metric. It's not always about increasing prices, but pricing is the biggest lever in SaaS. It is one way to dramatically increase growth overnight by just changing one number on a pricing page. So I mentioned earlier value metric. That's where if you charge per subscriber or you charge per seat, that is your value metric. And sometimes that's obvious, and other times you have the wrong one. And so a lot of founders that I speak with are unsure if they have the right value metric. And so I would either get some advice from someone in your mastermind, a co-founder, you can hire a pricing expert, or you can look at the competition and figure out, are they doing it better than I am? Another common mistake I see is where pricing tiers are too close together. So someone has 29, 49, 149. Well, 29 and 49 are approximately the same in that case. And so my loose rule of thumb, and look, this is not gospel. This is just a loose rule of thumb. Please take it as that, is to start with a price and then double it and double again. So I might go $50, $100, $200. It's probably where I'd start and say, does that feel directionally correct? But if I went 50, 79, 109, they're clustered too close together. And so it's something you may want to look at given that it is a common mistake. Another thing you want to look at is that you don't have a cheap tier with high churn with no one upgrading to your higher tiers, because usually that means that cheap tier is attracting the wrong type of customer. And again, loose rule of thumb is you should probably just get rid of that lowest tier. And the last thing to think about with pricing is to offer annual plans, and sometimes even default to annual plans. Because if you offer a discount, even if it's like 2 months free, what's that, a 16.7% discount, you can dramatically improve your own cash flow. So instead of getting your $50 a month plan over the next 12 months, you get $500 upfront if you do give that 2 month discount. But having that $500 allow you to potentially hire someone now or run extra ads or spend a little more on something to help you grow faster. Tactic number two is to remove signup friction. Go through your signup flow as if you're a new customer. Shorten any long signup forms. Don't require email verification to sign up, but maybe you do it before the user actually takes the final step in your product to go active, like publishing the page they've built or sending an email. You can add sign in with Google, Facebook, Twitter, GitHub, you know, whatever's relevant. That can dramatically increase the number of folks who try your software. And then there's a big question about should you ask for credit card upfront or not? In fact, Asia Arangio and I recently talked about this because we put together the State of Independent SaaS report. You should have seen a video on this channel. If not, you'll see a link in the upper left and in the description where we talk about the pros, the cons, and the considerations of asking for credit card upfront. Hiring senior developers can really move the needle in your business, but if you bring on the wrong person, you can quickly burn through your runway. If you need help finding a vetted, senior, results-oriented developer, you should reach out to today's sponsor, Lemon.io. For years, they've been helping our audience find high-quality global talent at competitive rates, and they can help you too. Don't just take my word for it. Listener Dylan Pierce had this to say about working with Lemon.io. The machine learning engineer they helped me hire was very professional and even learned a new tech stack to set up an environment to train and deploy machine learning models. He documented his work clearly so I could train it in the future with additional data. I'm super happy with the results. And longtime listener Chaz Yoon hired a senior developer from Lemon.io and said his hire, quote, definitely knew his stuff, provided appropriate feedback and pushback, and had great communication, including very fluent English. He really exceeded my expectations. Chaz said he'd definitely use Lemon.io again when he's looking for a senior level engineer. To learn more and get a 15% discount on your first 4 weeks of working with a developer, head to lemon.io/startups. That's lemon.io/startups. My third piece of advice is to look at your onboarding metrics, your activation metrics of how many people sign up for a trial or take a demo but never get activated, and start to think about ways to improve that number. What gets measured gets managed. And so if you're not thinking day to day, week to week about the percentage of folks who are in your app who are not activated, you're probably not going to do something about it. Now, realize that if you are just bleeding customers out because you haven't built anything people want and are willing to pay for, then this tactic of improving onboarding is a band-aid. Like, it doesn't fix the business. But if you have a business that's generally working and people are getting value out of it, but maybe they're just a little bit confused about how to get started. Maybe they hit a stumbling block or a piece of friction, whatever, and they can't quite get past it. So you can do things like add a product tour or an interactive tutorial. You can and should implement a welcome email series to guide new users. This is not news. You've seen it from every SaaS app you've ever signed up for, and the reason is because they work. In addition, think about setting up email sequences based on user behavior. So it's not just hard-coded to this many days after the trial starts, but think about if they fill out a certain form or they use a certain feature, you can trigger emails in behavioral tools like user list and customer.io. And also consider, if you have the time, adding in-app chat for new trials. Strategy number four is to strengthen your social proof. It's pretty hard to have too many testimonials. It's pretty hard to have too many quotes of people saying how they're getting value out of your software. You can add testimonials to your marketing website, show customer logos and success stories prominently. You can have case studies, and I mean detailed case studies that highlight specific results that folks can download. You can have quotes and testimonials during your signup flow, and you can use social media and, of course, email to share customer testimonials and reviews. This is where you just can't have too many because there's so many ways to use them. Speaking of social proof, if you're liking this video, please give it a like. Subscribe to the channel and drop a comment below. That kind of social proof really does help the channel. All right, back to tactic number five. Number five is to refine your target audience or your ideal customer profile. So this is where you start thinking about developing detailed buyer personas. So it's not just a general, hey, it's every HR manager at every company everywhere. You might say it is HR Helena. And Helena works at companies with 20 to 50 employees. And Helena struggles to have enough time in the day because she doesn't have enough budget to hire an entire HR team, but she really needs to get this stuff done. So you start to get pretty detailed with it. And then you sanity check that with yourself, with your team, and you start focusing things on that. You focus marketing efforts on your most profitable segments. You focus your sales efforts and your verbiage around that ideal customer profile. So you're tailoring your messaging to address specific needs of the ICP. Can you have two different ideal customer profiles? You can. Can you have three? Probably, but you're starting to get to the edges when you get to three, in my opinion, especially if you're below, 100,000 a month. Should you be really marketing towards four different ICPs kind of makes things muddy. Because not only are you targeting messaging, but you have to build your product for this ideal customer. You want to make it the best product anywhere for folks in that audience. And the more ICPs you have, the harder that becomes. If you like this content, you should check out my podcast, Startups for the Rest of Us. For the past 14 years, I've shipped an episode every week on building, launching, and growing startups. And these days, I focus on bootstrapped and mostly bootstrapped SaaS companies. But realistically, it covers the gamut of entrepreneurship, especially for folks who are trying to do it on their own without raising buckets of money. In the podcast, I share lessons I've learned as well as lessons from the best founders I know that I bring onto the show. You can find and subscribe to the podcast in Apple Podcasts, in Spotify, all the podcast apps you want. And you can also find it here on YouTube. Just go to the search bar, type in Startups for the Rest of Us. And my bonus tip, or the thing I teased at the start of this video, is to add customer success if your pricing supports it. You can be your first customer success person. Just thinking about proactively reaching out to customers to ensure they are getting value, helping them get set up, helping them get onboarded, and then circling back with them every few months, that's a big part of customer success. Customer support is inbound and reactive. Customer success is outbound and proactive. It can also be reactive as well, but there are a lot of things you can do. You can offer webinars or workshops on how to best use your product. And thinking in the customer success mindset is identifying and addressing churn risks early. So you may want to start by doing this yourself and hire for it once the need arises. I know that once we hired our first customer success person at my last startup, our trial to paid conversion rates on our biggest accounts, where we were actually applying customer success, increased pretty dramatically. And even our demo close rates went up. I didn't have a salesperson. I had customer success running my sales demos, which we can do a whole video on when you would do that and why you would do it. I've talked a lot about it on this channel and in the podcast, but our sales demo to close rate went up 2 to 3x whenever our customer success person would talk to them.